This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. I feel like the end is staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
The truth is that you're ugly. Not on the outside, but in the inside. On the outside, you front and you lovely. The discovery of these things and all are well hidden. But when you in denial of self, it is forbidden. That's the truth.
True, boy.
See it everywhere. Gotta recognize. Let the truth be told. From young souls that become old. From days spent in the jungle. Where must one go to find it? Time is real. We can't rewind it.
Out of everybody I met who told the truth. Time did. We find kids speaking because it's naturally in us. False prophets been telling us we born sinners, vendors of hate. Got me battling my own mind state at a divine rate. I ain't in this just to rhyme great. See the truth in the thighs of a stripper, the eyes of my nigga. If it's only one, then why should it differ? So constantly I seek it. Wonder why I gotta drink a six pack to speak it. Took a picture of the truth and tried to develop it. Had proof. It was only recognized by the intelligent. Oh, man, I love that, I love that joint right there. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society, and I must thank you, first and foremost, for taking whatever time out of your busy schedule to come sit, chill with me, listen to my stories or whatever it is that I do here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly appreciate that. I really do. This week I got way ahead of myself. I've been trying to do these album anniversaries and like not do it for the week that passed, but do it for the week that's coming. And I was looking up like hip hop releases in October, and I saw this particular album. I just had to do it. And I didn't realize till I had already like picked out the clip and everything and got excited about it that it was released October 19th of 99. So we more than a week in advance. But yeah, that's Internal Affairs. That's from the Internal Affairs album, Pharrell Munch's debut album. The song is The Truth. Dope song. I love it. But yeah, that joint was released, like I said, October 19th, 1999. And as I looked at that date, I remembered, like, all right, funny story involving this album. So in 99, I graduated from high school in 99, about October. I had finished my first semester at Marquette, and by October I was at Marquette. This story didn't happen until after I finished my first semester, like after Christmas break or Thanksgiving break, whatever it was. But anyway, so yeah, I'm in a dorm room in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on the Marquette campus. And I had this album. I was bumping this album like crazy at that point. And I think like the joint that everybody knows is Simon Says, you know, to get the fuck up. Everybody get the fuck up. And so some things that happened. My life had taken a turn for the not so great. I think I had actually found out that I owed the school money. My dad had not signed like my promissory notes for my loans and things like that. I graduated at 17, so I couldn't sign any of that stuff for myself. So I think I went to register for the next semester of classes, and they was like, nah, you can't register because you owe us money. And it was like, basically, I mean, it was an amount that was like, I got to go home. So, things had already been pretty bad for me. I was on academic probation. I was flunking out of shit. And I was going to have to go home. In my eyes, I was going home a failure. I was going home, like, defeated. And I knew that there were, like, probably people. I felt that there were people that were waiting, like, for me to take this L. And I was, like, you know, be celebrating the fact that I had been beaten by college. And so I was in a real depressed place. And so, I had decided that I was a kid. I'm joking about it now. It wasn't funny at the time. But you know, I had decided like I was done. I was gonna end it. Like I was trying to figure out how to do it or whatever. But I figured out, you know, what my whole plan of action was gonna be, and I was in like there ain't no tomorrow mode. So I'm in this dorm room in majority white campus, and I don't know. So I had been real cool with a chick up there, and at some point, like, I don't even remember the story behind why this happened, but at some point, she gave me a bullet. I think it was like a 9mm bullet or whatever. Just a bullet. I didn't have a gun. I don't know that she had a gun. I don't know where the bullet came from. I don't know why she had a bullet, and I don't understand why she gave it to me. I'm sure at the time, maybe I did, but now I cannot recall any of the circumstances around why she gave me this bullet. But anyway, I had this bullet. So my dumb ass decided, like, the way I was going out was I was throwing on the Feral Munch album. I was putting on Simon Says. I put the bullet in my teeth. I cranked the album up so that it was, like, blasting, you know, throughout the dorm. And then I just started walking the halls. And anybody that I passed in the halls, I would smile at them so they could see the bullet in my teeth. And it was, it was stupid. I'm just walking the halls on some King Kong type shit. You know? And I'm just, you know, I'm just smiling at people. And it was dumb. Obviously, nothing went the way I planned because you're listening to this. But I don't know. Yeah, so I have another album I have an emotional attachment with through some crazy times. But yeah, Feral Munch dropped that album October 19th, 1999. I am that old. Let's see. Oh, yeah, before I go any further, I want to give a big shout out to Willie of the Thing About Us podcast. Just been showing me a tremendous amount of support, and I appreciate it all. So I definitely wanted to, you know, acknowledge that on the show. He has a very dope show, him and his co-host Fiona. They just talk about, you know, everyday general stuff, and you get, you know, two sides. They seem to be two very distinct and different personalities, so you get both sides of it, and it's really cool. I love their dynamic and their chemistry. It makes me miss the days when I had a co-host. I do kind of miss it sometimes, but you know, solo I get to say whatever the fuck I want to say without interruption, so it's cool. But if you get a chance, check out the Thing About Us podcast. Really dope. And Willie, you know, salute to you. I appreciate you, brother. I don't know. Let's get into the episode. Again, this is a week where I had my daughter, you know, so it's going to be a very, very Chef Elise centric week. I don't know. Not all the story. It's not all about her, but it's all centered around her. Like she has something to do with the majority of it. I don't know. You know what this is. Let's just get into it.
Out of Pepe.
All right, the Chef Elise Report. This is what we do. So, again, continuing my journey as a soccer dad. So, you know, Saturdays these days for me are soccer games. And got to get up, got to get out, got to get to these games. And I love my girl. I love my little sweet pea. She is my sweet pea. She means the world to me. I support her in any and everything that she wants to do. If she wants to be an artist and draw, I'm buying all the art supplies. I'm drawing. I'm putting them up on the wall. Let's go. You know, if whatever it is that she wants to do, you know, we do the cooking stuff, and she's really into the Food Network and food and stuff. And so it's, hey, man, let's go out. Let's try different foods. Let's buy cookbooks. Let's do recipes. I'm all about that. And for whatever reason, she's gotten into soccer. And I'm very much on the sideline, you know, supportive, come to every practice, you know, kind of dad. But I know that my daughter's not very good at it. And it seems like she's not very good at it because she just doesn't really care. She doesn't seem to really care about the game. She wants to be out there. She wants to be with the other girls. She wants to drink Gatorade on the sideline. She wants to put the uniform on. She wants to wear cleats and shin guards and all that. It's like, she loves that part of it. She loves practice. But when it comes to games and like actually performing and being on the field, she's in her own world. She's very rarely paying attention to what's going on. And I don't know. I'm not in the mindset right now where I'm pushing her. I don't know that this is her thing or that this is something, you know, that is going to be a lifelong thing for her. So I just want her to have whatever fun she's going to have doing it. And I feel like there's a time where maybe it'd be time to be more serious about something. I see little girls out there that seem to be dead serious about it now at like 6 and 7. And it's like, man, like maybe that's how you get to be a Kobe Bryant or, you know, these elite level athletes, is that like you was in it and you was in it seriously at like 6. But I don't know. I'm just not there with her. But I say all that to say that these games are boring as fuck. Like this is, I go because it's my daughter and I'm going to be there to be at her games. Everyone, you know, barring some craziness, but it's not an exciting, entertaining thing. So as a parent, like I, you know, as an adult, I got to pull some entertainment out of these games. And luckily for me, every week there's something, there's something. This week, it was, oh man, this week was one of the best ever. Like this week was beautiful. And I just want to say this, it was not my fault. Like I'm going to tell this story and I'm going to come across as an asshole. And most likely because I am an asshole, but it wasn't 100% my fault. Like I feel like it was a setup. So I told you guys, like the refs for these games, there's a ref shortage for whatever reasons. And the refs for these games are kids. They're usually like high school kids or kids that are higher up in the whole soccer organization, whatever. But yeah, typically high school kids. And I have made fun of everybody. Like I'm old and I hate youth. So I demean it at every chance I get. Like I do. It's how I get my jollies. Like it's fun for me and that's what I do. And I've made fun of all of them. There was one that looked like one of the kids from Sandlot and I sat over there yelling, "You killing me, Smalls," the whole game. There was the phone guy that gave me his phone and we just had to have discussions about why would you be so, I don't know, irresponsible with your phone, what you trusting me for. I don't appreciate this. I haven't discriminated against anybody. This week we had what I dubbed, and this is probably wrong, but fuck it. I dubbed him the tiny ref. And it's, like I said, this wasn't my fault. This kid, we found out after the game that he was, I think, 13 or 14. He was one of them two. But he might have been like 2 inches taller than my daughter. Like if he hadn't been dressed in different colors, you'd have thought he was on the team. Just tiny ref. But not only was he just tiny or whatever, but they put him in like oversized clothes, or somebody put him in oversized clothes. Like the shorts was way too big for him. The jersey, the little ref jersey was way too big for him. He had on a hat, which no ref has ever worn in any other game that I've gone to. And the hat was like a snapback that looked like it was on the last possible button, you know, to still snap around his head. Like, it was fucking hilarious. He was hilarious. And what made it even worse is, like, so he looked like Emmanuel Lewis, but he was walking around the field like he was, I don't know, Murtaugh from Lethal Weapon or something. Like, he walked around like he was a week away from retirement and he was getting way too old for this shit. Like that's the gait that he had. Like that's just the way he carried himself on the field. It's like every time the play would change directions real quick and he had to like run to catch up, you could see him like have to rev up. Like me getting out of a chair. Like I gotta rock into it. Like you could see him having to rev up. Like I could almost hear him be like, "Oh hell, there they go." And he had to like take off and try to catch up with these kids. It was fucking hilarious. And at one point, the play comes toward where we're sitting. And we had a good little group with us this week. It was, you know, myself, my ex-wife, her husband, and then one of my ex-wife's friends and her husband was there as well. And we've all been, and then some of the other parents, and I've been cracking jokes on Tiny Ref the whole time. Like, I just haven't stopped. I got to get my fun from somewhere. And he put himself out. He set himself up. Either him, the organization, his parents, whoever dressed up. I don't know. It didn't have to be that way, but it was. And I feel like it was on purpose for me. I don't know. Whatever. So I have been making fun of this kid the entire game. I don't know if you heard me or not, but I hadn't stopped. And then the play comes over to us, and ball goes out of bounds. I think he makes the wrong call or something. Like, he called a goal kick when it should have been a corner kick or something like that. And so my ex-wife's friend, who is actually like a soccer player as an adult and is into the game, she makes a comment about the call. Like, I don't know why that, you know, like, I don't know, just something flippant, not anything disrespectful or mean or really even like demeaning the kid at all. And he turned around, he's like, I got mixed up. Like, he responded to it. And she was like, of all the things that have been said over here about this little kid, that's the one that he heard. He heard me question his call. I'm like, ah, you know, whatever. That's the way it was. Maybe because you question his professional integrity. I'm just talking about a fact that he's small, he's tiny. I'm treating him like an equal, man. I'm treating him like an equal. I'm doing this young man a service. I'm treating him like an equal. I'm preparing him for life and the way, you know, things are going to go down. I was his size probably at that age, maybe a little bit taller. I don't know, but pretty close. I know what he's going through. Toughen up. You got to, you know, you just got to get what I'm doing. God's work. I'm doing God's work, preparing these kids for the real world and making him feel like an equal. I've made fun of every other ref that's been out there. If I didn't do it this week, that would have been discriminatory. That would have been me being an asshole. But I treated him like I treat everybody else. And I mean, it is what it is. But I had a ball. Like, I had a fucking ball. Like, this, oh, Tiny Ref. Shout out to Tiny Ref. I don't know your name. You know, I don't know. Things may change for you. Things may not. There's a future for you in something. Like, that people will pay to see this. I swear to God, they will. If things don't work out for you, I will try to find a way to set up my own soccer league, and you will ref every game. And we'll find even dumber outfits to put you in. But whatever. Tiny Ref, much success to you. I appreciate you, man. You made the game enjoyable. You made the game, I was about to say, worth it. My little girl was playing, so it was already worth it. But I don't know. Worth the price of admission. Appreciate you, Tiny Ref. Other than that, so back to like actual Elise stuff, because I don't think she had anything to do with that story. But kids are something else. I think we all know that, like, for some reason, these small humans, like, I don't know, they just can tear bathrooms and stuff. Like, if you have a baby, you know that this little thing who ain't eating much but, like, you know, breast milk or formula or mashed up peas or whatever, they can, when they let one go, everybody know. The whole room is aware of it. Like, it's that little thing can do something. And like, my daughter is just, it's fucking crazy. We sit in the house after the game. So we go to the game. Let me see. I'm trying to think. I got to give you the combination of foods that she had that day, so maybe you can understand what was going on. But she had like Cocoa Pebbles or something for breakfast. And we back on our exotic fruits. So we got rambutans again. So she had the little alien balls or whatever with the Cocoa Pebbles for breakfast. And then, let's see, Gatorade and stuff at the game. After the game, she wanted to do, you know, boba tea again. We did boba tea. She had some fried rice. She came back to the house, I think, maybe had some cheese puffs. It was a remarkable and toxic combination of things going on in that system. But, you know, after these games, like, dad needs to chill. So I'm in my room. I'm chilling. She's out in the living room right outside watching TV, watching her YouTube clips. And, you know, she gets up, tells me she needs to go to the bathroom. And after we had the whole accident issue a couple weeks ago, it's like, I wasn't going to push her to go to her room, go upstairs in her room, go to the bathroom. Like, you can use dad's bathroom. It's cool. So I'm in there watching, you know, whatever I'm watching on TV. And like, it's coming all the way out there. Like, it's just, it's filling up the room. And I'm like, what in God's name? Like, little girl, what's wrong? Do we need to take you to the emergency room? Like, something is wrong with you. Like, it was bad. It was bad. So I immediately go in there when she's done with the spray so I can try it. I'm doing the whole like Pops from Friday thing. Like, I'm trying to, we got to eliminate this one kind of, you know, some kind of way. And what I noticed, and this is not the first time I noticed this, I don't know if this is graphic and disgusting, but you know, I got to share, somebody got to know what I go through. I don't know if it's like just the angle of her butt or something when she's on the toilet or what it is, but it don't hit the water. It don't hit the water. And this stuff is resilient. Like, it takes flushes. It don't move. I had to go get my tea kettle that I use for brewing my tea. My gooseneck tea kettle. And set it, you know, for boiling water. And it took damn near the whole pot of boiling water to, like, dislodge this thing. It was like, something is wrong. It's resilient. It didn't fold under pressure or nothing. It didn't move. It took forever to get rid of it. We finally did. From now on, now I got to, like, debate in my head when she says she needs to use the bathroom, whether I want to go through one of those situations or I want to risk the accident. I'm almost at risking the accident point. Like, I can mop that up. Like, I don't know if my room is going to smell the same for a while. Like, I don't know. We're going to work on it. But anyway, that was Saturday. And then Sunday, we had the thing that, I don't know, I dread more than anything else. I don't know how other parents feel about these things. We need to talk. We need to have, like, a parent meeting. Because if other parents feel the way I do about these activities, maybe we just need to fucking stop doing them. Like, why are we doing them if don't nobody want to go? But she had a birthday party to go to on Sunday. And so we drove out to the birthday party. And I don't know. It was at one of these, you know, places with all the games and the tubes and the maze and stuff that they can run through. And, you know, it's one of the places where you got to take your shoes off. And, of course, of all days for my sock to have a hole in it, it was today. And I'm trying to. I'm self-conscious about I guess I shouldn't have been, you know. I'm a dad with my little girl at a birthday party. Who cares about my sock? But it was getting to me, so it didn't help at all. But I don't know. Yeah, we went to this birthday party, and as much as kids' birthday parties suck for adults, I go, like, the thing I look forward to is that my daughter is not a big, like, sweets person. Which is cool. She's really into vegetables. She tried snow peas for the first time this weekend, and that was a big hit. Like, she ate up all my snow peas. They're, like, my favorite vegetable. But I'll sacrifice, you know, for my daughter. I'll eat more chicken and you can have all the snow peas. No worries. We got it. She's not really into sweets. So when I go to these birthday parties, I know, like, at worst, I'm going to get her cake. And then if they also offer in the parents' cake, then I'm going to get her cake and my cake. And birthday cake is like the god of cakes. It's like the greatest cake of all time. Like, everybody loves that yellow, I don't know, butter flavored cake with the icing. Like, it's a thing. And it's that's birthday cake. It's traditional. Like, that's what you do. And that's why, you know, I'll suffer through the hole in my sock walking around wondering if you're judging me or not. Because I know there's cake at the end. But then when you hang out with the people in the demographic that my ex-wife hangs out with, and I said, these folks weren't white. I don't know what nationality they are. I know it's not white. I don't know. It's whatever. I'm gonna get in trouble. But when you hang out with that demographic, like, it's always something crazy about the cake. And so I'm anticipating this cake. I see it. It's an Elsa cake. It's all blue. It's got a doll in it, whatever. I'm like, all right, cool. Sing the song. Cut it up. Let's go. And then they do. And I get it. And it's pineapple blueberry cake, something like that. Like, it's like pineapple cake, like a blueberry. I'm going to say compote because I want to sound fancy. I don't know, but it was like a blueberry something in the middle. It was weird. I was slightly perturbed because that was the whole thing. You know, these things are not fun for me. I got to chase a little kid around the area. It's a Petri dish because you got all these little disease-ridden things running around, sneezing and farting and shit. Like, you know, it's a horrible place to be, and they just want to do everything, or they don't know what they want to do, and you got to follow them everywhere and keep an eye on them and stuff. And it's a sucky experience. At least let me have the cake. And this was like some pineapple blueberry cake. I still ate it. It was good. I ain't gonna say it was bad. It was good. I still ate it, but it wasn't, you know, birthday cake that I was expecting. It was good, though. I ate her slice and mine, but it was all right. But then it got weirder. Like, I've never seen a Mormon up close. And I hope I'm not offending anybody. I don't care. I never seen a Mormon up close. I've seen them on TV. I used to watch Big Love. Me and my ex-wife used to love that show. But I never seen one like eye to eye, like right here, like right there. And it was just weird. I'm assuming she was a Mormon because of like the fucking gown she was wearing at a kid's birthday party. And then she just walked around with like, she walked way too fast and with like a very serious look on her face. She seemed to be almost scared of the crowd, but then also like judging the crowd at the same time. It was weird, but yeah, she was just this really creepy, and it's too close to Halloween and they had the decorations up, and then just like this creepy warm Mormon lady is just walking through super fast, like just fucking me up. It's like the cake and then the Mormon lady. And then everybody knows that as a parent at a birthday party, there's only one appropriate way to walk around, and that is slowly and defeated. Like, that's the look that should be on your face when you're a parent at a kid's birthday party. Shout out to the police. I don't know if you can hear that or not. If you're walking around a kid's birthday party as an adult, as a parent, not just as an adult, you got to be one of the people responsible for these things. If you're walking around there and you like super chipper and excited to be there, understand that something is wrong with you. Not me, because I look like, you know, I'm about to die and I can't wait to go home. I look like I just ran a marathon and they won't let me sit down type situation. It's not me with the problem, it's you with the problem. And what you're doing is selfish. It's fucking it up for everybody else because you just want to have so much fun with your kid and enjoy this experience. You're now putting other people through unnecessary shit. Like, see, I'm old. Right. I'm like sipping mineral water, excited about saving $50 on my car insurance type old. Like, I'm an old man. I know I'm only 41 and like there's people that are, you know, I'm not even 41. Yeah, I'm close. They're like 70-year-olds. They'd be like, oh, you're not old. Yes, I am. I'm old. You're older. Don't trip. Like, that's what it is. I'm old. And I have conditioned my daughter to certain things. When we go to these places and he had these mazes and the tubes that you can crawl all through, she always wants me to go. But I have conditioned her to, like, I'm too big, I can't fit in there, parents are not supposed to be in there. At this point, she doesn't even look to see if there's a sign with rules to say parents can or cannot go. She just understands that dad can't go. And this has worked. This is, we have built this foundation, it's an understanding. It's cool. I'm gonna find one of them little massage chairs or whatever and sit and, you know, watch you run through this maze. Other kids up there, you had a birthday party. You know these people. I don't. Like, go. Enjoy yourself. But as soon as she sees your chipper ass running through there with your daughter, now I got no excuses. Now I'm on the hook. So me and my holy sock had to go crawling through this thing with my daughter. And it was fucking worst, man. It was just the worst. I don't think we're supposed to be in there. Like, I never felt like I fit through anything. It wasn't designed for me, obviously. And, you know, it's either too low for me to stand up, but not quite, like, crouching don't work. And I got the points where I had to crawl and stuff. Like, I'm a grown ass man. I ain't crawling through this. But, and everywhere that I had to crawl, like, was like an intersection or something. So I'm just, like, getting bombarded by kids trying to get past me or whatever. And I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm doing all this dipping and dodging through this maze. I got this blueberry pineapple mixture swirling in my stomach. Now I'm like crop dusting the whole maze. Like, this, it was a bad situation. And it's all because you don't know the parenting rules that you're supposed to just walk around and act like, you know, this is what's happened to your life and that you're not happy with it. But you know, expedite. Now, shout out to Uncle Mac. I appreciate Uncle Matt, I think his name, Uncle Matt. Actually, I really don't know the folks, but shout out to Uncle Matt. Good guy, seems to have fun with all the kids. My daughter enjoys him, but I wouldn't have been in there if it wasn't for you. So there is a certain level of animosity that'll always be between us, even though I think you're cool. But anyway, that was my experience at the birthday party, and I was glad to be done with it when it was over. Shout out to all full-time parents, because I only have my daughter a couple days a month, and like, I don't think I would survive those visits if I didn't see the finish line. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you've been running a considerable distance and you feel like you got nothing left, but you can see the finish line, you can somehow empty the tank because you know as soon as you get to that finish line, you can rest. And somehow you can make it. And that's what every visit with my daughter is like. Like, I just, it's like, oh, Lord, it's Sunday. The time is that we're getting close. I'm about to pass her off to her mom. I just have to push through. And somehow I'll push through. For parents who don't have a finish line in sight, where there is no, like, I'm handing them off and I get the rest, thing, I don't know how you do it. Like, just shout out to y'all. Y'all are the real MVP. Lord Jesus. Anyway, I don't know. So that was my time with my daughter. The point of this episode, though, if there is a point, I wanted to talk about this real quick. Because I had an up and down week. And a lot of my up and down week was because it was evaluation time at my job. I hate this new thing that jobs do where they force you to evaluate yourself. Like, we have to do these self-evaluations. So we have to list out goals for ourselves for the year, and then we have to demonstrate how we've achieved those goals and rate ourselves on, you know, what we did versus those goals, and give you our strengths and weaknesses. Like, I really just, like, I worked for you for a year. Tell me if I'm doing a good job or not. Like, don't, I sold myself to you when we were doing the fucking interview process. You gave me the job. Now you tell me how I'm not, why do I gotta sell myself to you every year, you know, and let you know how great of an employee I am. You either know or you don't. Like, if you waited to the end of the year for me to tell you whether or not I did well or not, like, seems like a managerial problem. But anyway, I hate it. I don't like doing it, but I had to do it this week. I say this, man, like, you know, being forced to go back and look at the year and look at it from a perspective of trying to find the things that I did well and that would make me look good, I surprised myself when I went back and looked at some of the things I've accomplished, some of the, you know, the goals that I've achieved, some of the metrics that I've hit. I really did. And I think, you know, as down as I was about the whole process, you know, sitting down with my boss and going over the evaluation, I think he was impressed, you know, when I was able to show him some of the things that I've done. And, you know, and it got me to thinking that, especially over the last 3 years, you know, maybe we all should do some little self-evaluation these days and look at these last couple years. And I think no matter where you are right now, if you're not happy with exactly where you are right now, if you look at what you've survived and what you've accomplished, if you do an evaluation with the perspective of, let me look for what I've, things I can be proud of, I think you'll find a lot. Because we have survived and thrived in some crazy, crazy, crazy times. In fact, some of us have been surviving and thriving. We have made it all the way from George Bush doesn't like black people to White Lives Matter, and we are still ourselves.
High fives at an all-time high. I know they are.
High fives at an all-time high. You're amazing. You did that. And for that, you were the MVP. But yeah, man, we just take a second. You know, I've been really hard on myself with the driving and some other things. And this week was, as much as I didn't want to do it, was a good practice for me to go back and look at, you know, my year as an employee. And then that forced me to kind of go back and look at my year as an individual and remember that, you know, yesterday might not have been a great day, but as a whole, for the past couple of years, I made some, you know, some major moves, and I should be proud of myself. And I'm definitely proud of you, because you listening to this episode, you made it this far, and that's fucking dope. On that note, I'm going to head out of here. As usual, hit up the whatistws.com/store, merch store. Get you some hoodies. I'm about to drop the hoodie season coupon code and put the hoodies out there. I got some new ones. I got the Don't Thank Me, Thank God hoodie. I got the Just Ask hoodie. Of course, the TWS hoodies, the Dopeness hoodies, the For the Algorithm hoodies. I think this stuff is dope. I wear it all the time. Go get yours. whatistws.com/store. But with that being said, if you like what you heard, man, please, you know, share with your friends. Tell people about the podcast. You know, drop me a like, drop me a review, subscribe. Make sure you don't miss anything. I'm doing this every week, and I feel like I'm hitting my stride. But until we speak again, y'all be safe, be easy, be the light. And please know this, if you know nothing else, I'm proud of you for what you made it through, and I love y'all. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then. You might realize it later.
Love.